TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI, Trust-Based Relational Intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello and welcome to the TBRI podcast. You're listening to Season 6, Episode 6. On this show, we talk all about TBRI, or Trust-Based Relational Intervention. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various systems of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, producer of the podcast, and I am so honored to introduce today's conversation. Today, Samantha Ferris joins us on the podcast to share a bit about her work as a training and consultation specialist, as well as her journey to TBRI. This is part of our mini-series with the members of our team who train during TBRI practitioner training sessions and also travel globally to teach, learn from, and support organizations who are implementing TBRI on a systemic level. Thank you so much for listening, and please enjoy this conversation with our host, Sarah Mercado and Samantha Ferris.
Welcome to the pod, Sam. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Sarah. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to chat with you. I have a feeling this won't be our last chat here, so I'm excited for people in the wild to get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and maybe, I know you're moving into AAI land, so tell us a little about that too, but what geographic regions you serve as a training specialist also.
So I live and work here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and so I serve kind of the Midwest region. So in my role as a trainer consultant, I'm working with a lot of folks on the ground here in Michigan, also in Northern Indiana, Illinois, and then also in Oklahoma. So those are kind of my primary regions that I am working with folks on the ground in. And yeah, like you said, I just joined the AAI team, the Adult Attachment Interview team at the Institute. So I'm doing several of those per week. And then I'm doing training and consulting for kind of the other portion of my job. So it's just, I'm very lucky. I feel really privileged to do the work that I'm doing.
Yeah, I kind of have a, I don't think it's an official hybrid job. I don't know if we have those officially.
Yeah.
So any powers that be, plug your ears. But I kind of do the same thing where I get to do a couple of different things between the podcast and training consulting. And I don't know, I really enjoy, my brain is enjoying getting to kind of shift between
too.
The two.
Yeah, it just flexes different parts of your brain, and getting different touch points with our folks on the ground who are coming to training or who are out there doing the work.
It's a fresh perspective for the rest of it, I feel like. So
yeah.
Now I know you're a new mama, and mm-hmm. we've had a chance to meet the most beautiful baby ever, and that, my gosh, I'm not sure of a smileier sweet one, but you've been parenting for a long time.
Yeah, I have.
Correct?
Yep.
Through the foster care system?
Yes.
Okay. So let's jump right into some of our TBRI questions, but I wanted to lay the groundwork for you.
Sure.
You've had a lot of years of parenting experience and really parenting the kids that we sometimes primarily focus on. Mm-hmm. So are you a natural at TBRI? Did it come to you naturally, or is this something you have to focus on and practice?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I think aspects of it came naturally and a lot of aspects did not. I think it is truly like an everyday practice. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, before I came to TBRI training, I kind of had this notion that like you either can connect with kids or you can't. you know, some people have this magic thing and other people just like don't have it.
Right.
And so when I went to practitioner training, I was really blown away, and it totally shifted my perspective, especially in learning the principles and strategies of TBRI. I came away thinking, wow, like these are really micro level skills that can be taught and practiced. And so, yeah, that's really shifted my perspective, because while some of the, I would say like the engagement strategies came really naturally for me, and through my training as a clinical social worker, you know, I'd flex those muscles a lot, but in terms of the correcting principles, even the empowering principles, I mean, that was brand new stuff to me. And so parts of TBRI maybe came naturally, but most of it is coming, you know, every day with practice.
Yeah. I love that you said that like connecting was for some people and they were really good at it. For me, it would have been like, well, that kid won't connect with me, because I was unwilling to like look at myself in those early years. It would have been all about those kids and like, well, that kid won't connect, or that kid isn't interested, or that, right? Like, and one of the things that, like, thinking about the AAI and then of course my personal journey following that has like really been like, oh, turns out, Sarah, it might be that the connection falls back to you, as opposed to, so I haven't, nobody's said anything about that, the connection piece. So I love that answer. What is your favorite TBRI principle and why?
Yeah. So if you couldn't tell, I'm very much an attachment nerd. it's kind of the one thing, the common thread throughout my career so far and my parenting that I keep coming back to. It's the thing I can't quite get enough of. I'm fascinated by it. I'm in awe of it. And so the connecting principles are my favorite. And I think, as we all know, right, they're central to the other principles. Like, we can't empower our kids or correct them if we're not connected. And so that's really where I fall in terms of, my favorite principle and the strategies that come along with that.
That makes sense. Totally makes sense. I think empowering is definitely mine, because it was the easiest for me to start with.
You know, you want food? That's so true. You're right. Like, in terms of, you know, today, go home and do this. Like a water bottle, right? A fidget, some of those really basic things. I would say those were things I gravitated to really quickly to start my journey.
Well, I didn't require any vulnerability, that was for sure. So it was really easy to, oh, did you say I could give them a snack every 2 hours? And that counts.
On it.
I am in right here. Let me have this one.
Totally.
So is connecting also the easiest strategy? Or Larry, so we talked about principle, connecting overall. Let's dig down into some of the strategies of mindfulness, engagement, proactive, responsive, down into the strategies. Easiest strategy for you, and then we'll talk about what's the hardest.
Easiest,
I guess. I didn't say physiological and ecological.
Sure. Okay, let me think. Easiest strategy. I would say healthy touch. And eye contact are probably the easiest for me.
Wow.
But you know, what's interesting is that a lot of times those are the hardest, or those have been the hardest for the kids that I've cared for. So it's taken a lot of patience and like reflection on my part, because the kids I've cared for haven't been able to receive that right away, or can receive it in certain doses. So in some way, it's like the easiest for me. I feel more naturally gifted in those ways, but without examination, that can come across, you know, really forcefully or in a threatening manner. If the kids who I'm caring for or working with, don't have the trusting foundation with me yet to be able to receive that. So it's the easiest on one hand, but the hardest on the other. Does that make sense?
So, Absolutely. So in my mind, and I'm straying, but that can come with, for you as the caregiver, a big sense of rejection.
Right.
So you're like maybe offering a hug or even just eye contact too. It's like, you know, I mean, that's an intimate offering.
Yes.
And so how do you manage that? Like, mm-hmm. do you have anything you tell yourself in those moments when they're like, I don't want to hug or.
That's a great question. I think I learned the hard way within our first foster care placement. I, like so many, right, like came into this, like I have so much love to give, right? I have capacity to come and meet these needs. And when our kids weren't ready for that in the way that I wanted to give that connection, it did feel like rejection. So I think, thankfully, on a cognitive level, I had already been to TBRI training. I already knew, like cognitively, that, okay, they can't trust me yet, right?
Right.
But my body experienced that in a different way.
Right.
And so I'm not sure that I necessarily had like a mantra I would tell myself, but you better believe I got myself into therapy. It was a constant conversation between my husband and me because of, you know, all the kids that we've cared for through foster care have had different ways in which they could receive love and care and connection from me and my husband. And that's looked different with each child. And so it is really, truly just an ongoing dialogue and making sure that I have some external accountability to check me, right? Like, what's about me? Uh-huh. What's about my history? How can I continue to lean in relationally, but in a way that's respectful, developmentally respectful of where they're at in this moment?
Man, this is so hard. Just thinking about that, it's so hard. Yeah. Gosh, it's so hard.
It's really hard.
What's the hardest strategy for you?
Correction.
Yeah.
Just all of it.
All of it.
So I definitely, you know, we talk about structure and nurture. Mm-hmm. I lean like high nurture, low structure. Okay. And so, I mean, it is truly an everyday practice for me to increase my structure.
I feel like on that quadrant, we would end up in opposite corners.
Yeah. Yes, we would.
You and I would.
We would.
Yeah. Be like, let me bring you some structure.
Exactly. I know.
And you'd be like, and I'll bring you some nurture.
Yeah. Cause I can really like naturally just lean permissively. And again, learning the hard way, right? Like that sets kids up to not feel safe in a different way. Right.
Right.
And so, because if they don't have a safe boss, then who's in control? They are, right? And our kids, we know our kids need a safe boss. And so that has been the greatest area of focus for me in terms of where I need the work.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to share a time with us that you've needed a redo as the adult?
Oh, yeah. I mean, truly, I think most of us on the team would probably say this, that we are the ones who need the most redos in our family.
For sure.
Same goes with me. So I do have a specific memory. The first little guy that we had placement of, so he was actually 7 at the time, of this memory. And I don't exactly remember what I did. I remember I yelled at him. We were in my kitchen and I said something. I don't even know exactly what it was, but I yelled at him. And right away, this part is what I remember. He goes, "Whoa, mom, you need a redo." Thankfully, I had enough like regulation at the time to be like, "Whoa, you're right, buddy." And so he walked me through a redo right at that moment. And then he reaches up his hand to give me a five and high five. And he goes, "Now that's my main girl."
Oh, stop.
So I just like, it was the sweetest moment. So that's what I remember about it. I don't remember exactly what I did, but I yelled. I yelled something at him.
Yeah.
But that has always stuck with me because he was so forgiving and so gracious with me. And like he returned to playful engagement, you know, like all the things we're trying to do, right? Like if we have to go to calming engagement, then we move back down to structured. Yeah. We always want to end with play. And like, that's what he did. And I genuinely did feel more connected to him after that.
I love that.
And so I'll never forget it. It was
yeah.
a precious moment. Yeah.
He said, that's my main girl.
Yes, that's
right.
So
that's
cute.
What he said.
Yeah, that's what he said. Gave me a high five. It was incredible.
Come on. Okay, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've noticed for me too, usually if I'm yelling, because I'm not really a yeller in general, but when I'm afraid, I'll yell. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I have, you know, there was one other instance when one of our foster daughters kicked her sister like pretty hard. And so mm-hmm. I immediately like yelled, stop, you know, but it was scary. She ran and hid under the couch. It was not a pretty moment. And so I needed a redo in that moment. And so I, you know, went and laid under the couch or squatted down under the couch and just said, baby, I'm so sorry. Like that was not okay. Can mom try that again? Actually, mom, she called me Sammy. Can Sammy try that again?
Yeah.
And so we did hands and eyes and I apologized to her and said, this is what I should have done instead. And then she walked me through it and just gave me like a really, really big hug after that. And so I just say that to say, sometimes we might think anger is behind our actions. But a lot of times for us caregivers, it's fear, especially if our kids
Absolutely.
Have really big behaviors and safety concerns, and you're kind of mm-hmm. living in that constant state of fragility. Right. That quickly induced fear or survival right. response in ourselves can come out in a kind of an ugly way, right?
And I think, and even beyond physical safety, I think as a parent, there's so much pressure in some of our communities to be such performative parents.
Oh, yeah.
And so like a fear that somebody might see my kid behaving this yeah. way and judge me or
totally.
Right? Like, it's just so much. And then all of that unravels behind
Yeah.
you know, in the safety of the home.
That's so
and
true.
So, yeah, I think you're exactly right that fear is a huge,
mm-hmm.
a huge, huge thing that's happening behind the scenes for us. And, and we all know what fear does, right? The fear
yep.
does the same thing to the adults as
exactly.
it does to the child. So,
exactly.
If you could tell your younger version or the younger version of yourself that was maybe just learning TBRI and potentially struggling, which for me, like I'm, years and years in and still sort of maybe that younger version riding that struggle bus sometime. What would you tell her?
That you'll never arrive,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and to get like cozy with that idea.
Yeah. Snuggle up.
Snuggle up because parenting, peopling, right? Like it's
right.
inherently complex. And we're always experiencing new things that shift the way that we're thinking and feeling, perceiving things, responding to things. And so, you know, I might really get good at one aspect of TBRI or one skill, but then maybe a trauma happens in my family or a loss mm-hmm. or a global pandemic. Like
right.
we're never going to arrive and that's okay. We're constantly in process. You know, we always talk about it's a journey and it's one that I don't think like ends because we're humans.
Right.
And so rather than being really afraid of that, I think I am kind of achievement oriented. And so that idea of not being able to like arrive or perfect something is scary. So I would tell my younger self, you won't and you can't. And like, that's okay.
Right.
And there's a lot of beauty in that.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. Yeah.
It's like one little stumbling growth opportunity after the next, right?
For sure.
And,
for sure.
And like, as the kids age and grow and as we age and grow, right?
Yeah.
Like we become new and different people all along. So like everything looks different in our relationships.
So true. And just as you think you have something like figured out parenting, then it changes and you have to adapt and
Absolutely.
That's just human development.
Just ask a junior high parent.
Yeah, exactly.
Kid starts hitting puberty. It's like, woo,
yes.
Everything just changed,
absolutely.
Right? Like in a heartbeat. So,
absolutely.
Okay. We have some rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. We're going to go straight down the list.
Okay.
Favorite food?
Ice cream. Does that count?
Yes. First, what's your favorite flavor?
Coffee.
Okay, listen, overachiever.
Yeah. Oh, hey, thanks.
Well, that's leading right into the next question. How do you take your coffee when it's not ice cream?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Just with a bit of cream. Or okay. Like I like a nice iced mocha if I'm being fancy.
Okay, fancy. All right. Mm-hmm. Walk up song or theme song?
Oh, wow.
You can pass on anything.
Okay, let me think. Before I Let Go by Beyonce.
Okay. Dang, girl.
Yeah.
See, if I had to think like that, we'd be here till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Favorite vacation spot?
Oh. That's a great one. Favorite? You know, my husband and I traveled to Oahu, and that was pretty fantastic.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd go back.
You would.
I would. Yeah.
I think most people say that about Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We like Hawaii.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been there, but most people say they love it.
Yeah.
Favorite animal?
I can't say I have like a favorite animal as an adult. As a child, I would have said a dolphin. So we'll go with that. It's going to be real basic.
Well, we were all going to be marine biologists at some point, I feel
absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. Absolutely,
it fits. I was. It yeah. fits. Okay, again, you can pass, but I'm going to ask it. Favorite sports team?
Well, now it's the TCU Horned Frogs.
Okay. All right. Go Frogs.
Yeah, not a football person, but I got very into it last season.
Yeah, they really roped us in. So I'm looking forward to this season. I was screaming on the couch last Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Or Saturday.
Especially when I played U of M, that really tested my allegiance because I'm from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, I actually cheered for TCU.
Okay, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll keep that going.
Thank you.
I'll get you a purple shirt.
Perfect.
Favorite hobby?
I love to run.
Oh.
I love to read.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't been able to run postpartum yet.
Running, long distance
reading.
Runner?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you go out and run, like, what's a short run for you?
Probably like 3 miles.
Yeah. That's a long, long run for me.
Yeah. But it's been a minute since I've done that. So okay. Running, reading, would like to try to get into biking soon. And I like to watercolor as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm not good at it, but I enjoy the process.
Yeah, awesome. Sam, thanks for being here today. What a fun conversation. I know that our listeners are going to really enjoy it, and I can't wait to have you back on another time.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.